Good morning, Decatur, Illinois, and welcome to the radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church. Trinity Lutheran is located at 1960 East Johns Avenue in Decatur. My name is Pastor Matthew Versaman, and I have the privilege of being Trinity's pastor. Our worship service, if you don't have a church home, is on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:15 a.m., and we would like to invite you to worship with us. Also, we have been running this radio broadcast now for 5 months and are scheduled to run it through the end of August. We'd like to hear back from the audience to see if people are listening to and enjoying this program. If you are, would you be so kind as to either send a letter or text or email to Trinity Lutheran, or you can call Trinity Lutheran at 217-422-3630, just so that we know whether or not we should continue this radio broadcast into the future. Let us begin today's worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whenever we come into God's presence, and even every day of our lives, it is appropriate that we confess our sins to God. And so, let us confess our sins. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray that you would have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins, renew us, and lead us, so we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. And having confessed those sins, receive God's absolution. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son Jesus to die for you, and for his sake, he forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority in John chapter 20, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God. Today we're beginning a sermon series on prayer that will take us through the end of August. Hear the word of God from John 15. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made it known unto you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to think with me for a moment. What if someone gave you what I'm going to call a super voucher? And with that super voucher, you could go to any store, anywhere, at any time, and get anything you wanted for free. Not only that, but you could get as many items as you wanted for free. Not only that, you could also use the super voucher for your family and friends and their needs. And this super voucher never expires. Wouldn't you love to have a gift like that? Now, what would you think, however, of the person who had such a super voucher and never used it? You'd think they were absolutely crazy for not using such a tremendous gift. Well, it just so happens we do have a super voucher, and that super voucher is what God has given us in prayer. I want you to think of prayer as a gift rather than a duty. prayer is a gift that comes along with the father-child relationship that Jesus has given us with God through his forgiving blood that has forgiven every sin that separated us from God. So now he's our Father. And then he has also, when he brought us to faith, given us the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Okay, then out of that relationship, we then use the gift of prayer to receive even more gifts that God wants to give us, that he wants us to have, but he often waits until we ask. So that when we call upon him as our Father, and then he answers our cries, not only by giving us good gifts, but he also thereby strengthens the father-child bond that is ours in Christ as he answers our cries with his grace and mercy and gifts. God has given each of us a super voucher of prayer. He promises that he will hear your prayer and answer it for free, anytime, anywhere, for anything, your whole life long. And he will give you what you ask for unless he knows that it would hurt you, lead you to forget him, or goes against his will for your life in some way. Do you see how foolish it is to not pray? James chapter 4 puts it like this. You do not have because you do not ask God. Or when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Do you see how important prayer is? In fact, it is the Christian's secret vocation. The devil tries to stop us from praying because he knows the real power of prayer. Our prayers are the undoing of the devil and his power and work against us. As a result, the devil will do everything he can to keep you from praying. As the father of lies, he will even misuse God's word in one of two ways to keep us from praying. On the one hand, the devil will argue with you that since prayer is not a means of grace, it is simply the response that follows grace. And since our works contribute nothing to our salvation, we don't need to pray. That's one lie that he'll give, as if there's no benefit for those who are already saved to pray. What a lie from the devil. But number two, if the first lie doesn't work, the devil will use the fact that since we fail so often in our prayer life, we should just give up and leave prayer to the experts in the faith. The fact is, there are no experts in the faith. But in so doing, the devil deprives us of the good things that God wants us to receive from him and of the devil's own undoing through our prayers. We often have no idea just how powerful prayer is. Let me illustrate. Imagine that you received an invitation from the President of the United States to join his administration. Even more than that, if you accept the offer, you get to choose the department that you wish to run. You would be a member of the President's cabinet, his inner circle. You would have direct access to the president, and because of your position, you could advise the president about his decisions and have a real say in how he administers his powers as president. That's an illustration of the access and power we have in prayer. In the ancient world, the person closest to the king, his confidant and advisor, was called the friend of the king. This was also the case in the Bible. In 2 Samuel 16, God's word says of King David's friend Hushai, then Hushai, David's confidant, went to Absalom and said, "Long live the king! Long live the king!" Abraham was also a friend of the king. James 2 says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." Abraham then used his access to God as a friend of the king to plead for God's mercy for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham literally had a say in how God administered his law and gospel. In Genesis 18, Abraham said to God, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked." And God listened to Abraham's prayer and said, "For the sake of 50, or 40, or 30, or 20, or even 10 righteous ones, I will not destroy the cities," God told Abraham. Now, God finally did destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because not even 10 righteous ones could be found. However, he heard and answered Abraham's plea to not destroy the righteous with the wicked by saving Lot's family. So what you see is that a friend of the king, Abraham, had access to the king in prayer and advised him on how he should use his powers and save the righteous. And God answered that prayer and did save the righteous. Now get ready for this. In John 15, Jesus calls us his friends. We are friends of the king. It says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And you are my friends. I no longer call you servants, for a servant does not know his master's business, but I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you." Do you realize what Jesus, the King, is saying to us, his friends? You are not just a servant of God. Servants were to keep their mouths shut and do what they were commanded. But friends of the king had the right to speak to the king, to advise the king, to pray to the king. They had the king's ear. You and I have access to God through Christ in our prayers. We have God's ear. In prayer, you and I actually advise God, the king. We advise Jesus, the King of Kings. You and I have a real say in how God administers his mercy and wrath, his forgiveness and judgment, his help in times of need through our prayers. Don't believe it? Well, let me give you another illustration. In Exodus 32, Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets containing the Ten Commandments. When he reached the bottom of the mountain, he hears and sees that Aaron and the Israelites have made two calves out of gold and are worshiping those idols. Moses knows that their sins deserve God's wrath. Exodus 32 says, "I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses. "They are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. "Lord," he prayed, "why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out of Egypt, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth'? O Lord, turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he threatened. Notice, Moses used his access as a child of God and a friend of the king in prayer. And he advised God not to use his power in wrath, but to be merciful to his people for the sake of his name and his people's salvation. And God, he had God's ear, and God heard, and God did what Moses asked. The Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Our prayers are a super voucher. Our prayers are powerful to bring God's mercy to the lost, to stay God's wrath against the wicked, and even to save nations. In the same way, Jesus lets us in on his Father's will in his word. And what is God's will? Exodus 18, I take no delight in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their wicked ways and live. Ezekiel 18, now that we know our Father's will, we work with Jesus as friends of the King, advising him very specifically to be merciful for his name's sake and for his reputation as a forgiving and loving God, as we ask him to forgive the repentant and to trouble the unrepentant until they repent. Let me use another example. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah visited the home of the widow of Zarephath, and she used all that she had left to bake some bread for Elijah. But while he was there, the widow's son became ill and died. The widow became angry at Elijah and with God and said, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord. Remember, the people of God have God's ear. He cried out, "Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Your prayers and mine have the power to bring God's life to people, both physically and spiritually, according to God's good and gracious will. And we could go on and on. Exodus 3, God hears his people's prayer and mightily delivers them from Egypt. Exodus 14, God hears Moses' cry and divides the Red Sea to save his people. Isaiah 38, God hears Hezekiah's prayer and gives him 15 more years to live. Luke 18, God hears the blind man's cry and heals him. Luke 1, God answers Zechariah's prayer for a son and John the Baptist is born. Matthew 8, God answers the leper's prayer and heals him completely. Mark 7, God hears the mother's prayer and delivers her daughter from a demon. Acts 9, God answers Peter's prayer and raises Tabitha from death to life. These are all examples of countless examples of the access we have to God's power in prayer. When we pray to the Father in Jesus' name, we actually have a say in how God administers his will in our lives and in the lives of others. By our prayers, we work together with God and Jesus very specifically in the giving or withholding of God's grace and mercy on earth. Jesus died and rose again, and has won, past tense, forgiveness, life, and salvation for everyone. But now, very specifically, through prayer, we ask God to afflict the comfortable in their sins until he or she repents, and to comfort the afflicted with the good news that God has indeed forgiven us and is merciful to us, because Jesus shed his blood in full payment to God to remove his wrath from us. As another example, I remember one of my former professors, the late Dr. Lewis Brighton, telling us at the seminary how he tried and tried to share the good news of Jesus with the husband of one of his members. But the husband refused to listen and finally asked Dr. Brighton not to come back to his house anymore. But because we have access to God through prayer in Jesus' name, and Dr. Brighton knew this, Dr. Brighton prayed that God would do whatever it took to open a door for this man to hear the gospel. Within 1 week, the man had a massive heart attack and nearly died. But now, laying in a hospital bed, the man was now ready, and he welcomed Dr. Brighton when he visited and listened to God's word. And the man was converted by the Holy Spirit and became a believer. He was baptized and became a member of Christ's church, and then he attended church every week after that. Well, a few months later, on his way out of church, this man said to Dr. Brighton, "I thank God every day for sending me that heart attack, because I was certainly headed to hell until God shook me up and woke me up to my sin and need of forgiveness." Do you see how Dr. Brighton used the access he had to God, and that all believers have in Jesus, and he literally had a say in how God administered his law and gospel in that man's life to save him? In prayer, you and I not only pray for God to use us or others to speak the good news of Jesus' shed blood to those who are repentant, but also to judge the unrepentant with whatever it takes, even suffering, until he or she is open to hearing and receiving the gospel. Because of the complacent times that we are living in, I am convinced that we need to pray fervently for God to shake us up and wake us up, and to shake up and wake up people through whatever means he has to use, until they and we are truly ready to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ our Savior again. We should not look at our lives and the lives of others as if every event of our lives is already set in cement, and thus no amount of prayer can change God's mind. Yes, God is unchanging in his essence. He's unchanging in his attributes. And he is unchanging in his will to save the world, as we know, because the Son of God bled to death on a cross one Good Friday to save the world. But biblically, God does listen, and his ears are open to our prayers. And at times he does change his mind from mercy to wrath, or from wrath to mercy, as well as countless other things in our lives based upon the prayers of God's people. Moses dared to pray because he believed that he could actually change the future of God's people by changing God's decision to destroy them, and it worked. God said yes to Moses' request, and Moses' prayer literally saved a nation. Even when God specifically said that he was going to destroy his people for worshiping the golden calves, Moses held on to God's grace, and he held on to God's ear and asked him not to do it, so that their well-deserved punishment would not close the door on others to hear God's grace, who may then view God as a wrathful and unloving God. And God answered Moses' prayers. And God's people were delivered and saved, even though they didn't deserve it. There's an old saying regarding mothers that goes, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." And I believe there's a lot of truth in that. But in a much greater way, the hands that are folded, the knees that are bent, and the mouths that are open in prayer really rule the world. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for forgiving all of our sins for the sake of Jesus Christ's shed blood on the cross, and for removing all punishment and wrath that was against us, so that now we have freedom and confidence to come into your presence, and we have free access to not only come into your presence, but to have you hear our cries and our prayers, our confession and our praises and worship. And, O Lord, for the sake of Jesus, we pray above all that you would forgive our sins and remember them no more. We also pray, dear Lord, for those who are already believers, that you will keep them strong in their faith in Jesus by continually turning us to the cross. And for those who are not believers, we pray, dear Lord, that you will give them more time to hear the good news. And if they are not in a position where they want to hear it, that you would shake them up and wake them up using whatever you must use, so that they would be welcome and willing to hear the word of God for their salvation. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church, located at 1960 East Johns Avenue in Decatur. And we invite you to worship with us each Sunday at 9 a.m. Again, as we consider whether or not we're going to extend our radio broadcast into the future, if you are blessed by this radio broadcast, we pray that you would either email us at office@trinitydecatur.com, or that you would call our office at 217-422-3630. The Lord bless you in the week ahead.